Do you have any requests over there, sister? Okay. I have a couple this morning. Continue to pray for Ken Sassy. He is still in the ICU. He had open heart surgery. He had a bypass done. And he, I think it was Thursday of last week or something, and he had been on the ventilator. And he's off the ventilator now. He's still in the ICU. He keeps going in and out of AFib. And then let's continue to pray for my little sister who is going to the hospital every day to get her antibiotics. And then I'm asking for prayer for my family. I have two grandchildren that is in my home, and I don't know where they stand. I know that they have been told about Jesus and all that, and I just, they're late teens, and,
right.
You know,
enough
do
said.
I need to say anything else? One's 17, and one graduated high school, and she got a full ride to OU. However, when she got to OU, it was too much.
Yeah.
And so she is now taking the semester off and is getting a job, and she has talked to the dean and all that. It's just a lot for her.
Yeah.
It was, the way she explained it, was overwhelming, like a punch in the gut.
Yeah.
And it's like she was not prepared.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm sorry, y'all, but we have to do better at preparing these kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. Because there's a whole soapbox that I could get up on. No soapboxes.
All right, so just these two then, and then your family. Okay. So it's Ken. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Father, we just thank you for Ken. Father, it seems that he's in a situation that he needs your hand to move. So, Father, we ask on his behalf in Jesus' name that you would move. And Father, this moving in and out of AFib, Father, we just say no longer in Jesus' name. We just speak to his heart. We tell it to beat normally. We speak to the lungs to breathe normally, to function as you were created in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you for your divine intervention in this. Father, we say that today we start seeing changes quickly in his health and his status and the way that he's responding. Father, we just thank you for that. Father, I just thank you for Monica's sister and family, Father. I thank you that you're being with her, and Father, that she is walking into fullness and to complete and total healing in her body, Father. Whatever is going on where she's in need of antibiotics, Father, we just thank you that you're touching her life, Father, and that her body will be brought to wholeness in Jesus' name. And just for her family, Father, for Monica's family, Lord, we just lift them up. God, I know that moving from adult or from teenage into adulthood, it can be a punch in the gut. So, but Father, I thank you. And even as we see in your word that you have sent a helper. And so, Father, if these kids don't know you, Father, if they haven't come into relationship with you, Father, I just ask that you would reveal yourself to them, Father. Lord, as we spoke about today, no man can come to you unless you draw them. So, Father, I ask that you would create the environment, Father, that you would draw their hearts to you, God, that you would send them people in their path, maybe people they know now, maybe people that they don't, Father, but they would just send people to plant and water the seeds in their life, Father, to bring them to the knowledge of who you are. And God, I thank you that when they come to the knowledge of who you are, Father, that they are going to walk empowered, Father, that they will see the truths of your word, Father, that the Holy Spirit himself will begin to teach and guide them, Father. And so, Father, I just thank you for moving in Monica's family today, in Jesus' name.
And one more. The Lord reminded me, let's pray for Michelle Sassy. That is Ken's wife, which also happens to be my late husband's first wife.
Okay.
Yes.
For Michelle.
Yes.
So, Father, we just lift up Michelle today, Father. And, Lord, that's what I love about you is you know all the details. So, Father, for just a lack of words, Father, I thank you that you know all the details and that you're going to go in and move and that you're going to bring things from this situation, Father, that looked like they're going one way, but they're going to go another way. Father, I thank you that where there's mourning, Father, you bring joy. Father, where there is fear, Father, you bring peace through this entire situation and whatever that they're going through and experiencing, Father. We just thank you again for your strength. And for any of these people that we've prayed for, Father, that if they don't know you, if they haven't seen the truth of the word and who your son is, Father, that they would come to the knowledge of who you are and be walking in a way, Father, that they can be empowered by you. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries is located right here at the Promise Center in Elk City.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for today is Jason Monk. His title for this morning is Walking in Righteousness. Back to you, sir.
All right. So we're going to jump over into Romans 4 now. And we're going to start down in 7. And again, as an encouragement to you guys, I encourage you to go read, you know, and understand, too, when these were originally written, they didn't have chapters and verses and all of those things. So when you go read Romans, all of it. That'll give you a good understanding of that, because if you're not careful and you just get into 4, 5, and 6, you know, you'll see a little bit of freedom, and then you'll get a little bit discouraged because you'll start to relate to some of the things he starts talking in there in 7, you know. But as you roll over into 8, he gives a great explanation of, again, it's a contrasting. It's this is what you were. This is how you were caught up. This is how you weren't successful. But now, as we get into 8, here is the success story, right? But Don't get caught in 7 and quit. Do not ever read Romans 7 without reading Romans 8 as well, because it will set you up for misunderstanding in some places. So we're going to start in verse 4 and 7 of Romans. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. There's the truth. Right? Yes, we have all fallen short. Yes, we are not walking in God's righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. But when we do accept through faith the life of Jesus, guess what? The disobedience is forgiven. The sins are put where? Out of sight, right? Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord is what? Cleared, right? And you know, I use a simple analogy, the old whiteboards. You know, as a kid, it was a chalkboard for us, but they don't even have that anymore. They're fancy nowadays. But just think about this. You can have this chalkboard or this whiteboard, and you can have all the stuff, all the things that you've done in your life written down, right? They're all written on there. All the times that I've lied, all the times that I was disrespectful, all the times I was hateful, all the times I had this in my heart or that in my heart, and contempt for someone. And Jesus just walking in there and just wiping the whole thing clean, right? And we have to understand that's what he did. It's clean. It's the record. It was cleared. There's no longer a rap sheet. It doesn't exist anymore. You can't go up and pull it up and say, well, what did they do before in God's computer? Because it doesn't work, right? All you're going to pull up is when you say, well, what did so-and-so do before? Jesus. That's all you're going to see. Jesus. Jesus took your place. Jesus took the rap sheet, right? He cleared that out for you. So verse 9, now is this blessing only for the Jews, or is it also for the uncircumcised Gentiles? Well, we have been saying that Abraham was counted as righteous by God because of his faith. But how did this happen? He was counted as righteous only after he was circumcised, or was it before he was circumcised? Clearly, God accepted Abraham before he was circumcised. So circumcision was a sign that Abraham already had faith and that God had already accepted him and declared him to be righteous even before he was circumcised. So again, understand the context of this. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. He's giving reference to the Old Testament when he's talking about Abraham in this way, that even then God looked and seen Abraham as righteous. But now there's a new covenant that you and I walk into because of Jesus. We all walk in that same exact righteousness. That's what he's painting the picture of for there with the story of Abraham. It was by faith. It was the faith that Abraham applied into God because Jesus wasn't here yet. But now Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, the only way back to the Father, right? That's what the message that Jesus came and brought. So what do we have to see? We apply the faith through what? Through Jesus. And now this righteousness that we see God given to Abraham, God is giving to us. Why? Because we believe in his Son. We believe in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through our faith, we are counted as righteousness. And he says that right there in the end of verse 11. So Abraham is the spiritual father of those who have faith but have not been circumcised. They are counted as righteousness, or as righteous, because of their faith. And Abraham is also the spiritual father of those who have been circumcised, but only if they have the same kind of faith Abraham had before he was circumcised. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. So we can look at this in ourselves. God's promise to give the whole world to Abraham and his descendants wasn't based on Abraham's obedience, right, to the law, but it was based on the relationship that Abraham had with God. And it's no different in our lives as we look today. There's nothing that we can do. It's not through our deeds. It's not through our actions that we can keep our right standing with God, right? It's through what Jesus did. The only thing that I need to do to keep in the place of right standing with God is to keep my faith in Jesus, the Son. That's it. Nothing else. There's nothing else that you can do. There's nothing, no sin that you can get over. There's nothing else that you can leave behind. There's none of those things that can come through the strength and the power that comes from within you that will keep you in the righteousness of God outside of Jesus. It's not possible. But if we're happy, but what does happen, we will look at those things and pursue better living, right living, right? All of those things, we make those our pursuit. And understand, when you are making right living your pursuit, you are not making following your pursuit. It's different. It's different in following Jesus and pursuing right living. Because if you're pursuing right living, it's no different than trying to walk according to a set of standards or rules, right? God doesn't call us to that. God calls you to the freedom that we have in Christ. So in the moments, realizing, is this a failure or a sin point in my life? Yes, it absolutely is. Thank God for Jesus, his son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's now going to empower me to keep walking, and that this is not going to continue to be a stumble block over and over and over and over and over. Why? Because I'm not focusing on it. I'm focusing on the son, and I'm thanking him that he is going to walk me through this. He's going to get me over this hump. He's going to get me through this hole. He's going to pull me out of this sludge. Whatever it is in that circumstance that you're going through in your life in that moment, follow. Why? Because Jesus is always moving, right? He's always moving. And if we're always following, then we will never stay and get stagnant in those places where sin wants to put a fence up, get us in a circle, get us in a cycle, right? So verse 16, so the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. This is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. I want to jump down here. Just kind of hit the highlights in verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Okay, again, how does that apply to my life? When you apply your faith through Jesus and you get your eyes off of focusing on all the shortcomings, all the failures, all the sins, and you simply put your belief in Christ in this way, what does it say happened to Abraham? His faith grew stronger and he brought glory to God. That is the same story for you. If you will not take your eyes off of Christ, if you will keep following, even in the midst of failure, when you fall, what do? Just get back up again, right? Though I fall, I will rise. That's what the word says. When I fall, I'm just going to get back up and I'm going to continue pursuit of Jesus in my life. And what will that do? It will bring glory to God. Why? Because you're going to see, they're going to see, you're going to see a life that is now transformed and removing itself from those things that are not of him. And that takes no will of your own. That takes no self-control, no confidence. It's not about that. It's about understanding it's God in me. It's my trust in him and knowing that if I don't take my eyes off you, you're going to walk me away from this thing. I can't do it on my own. We understand that. When we go back and look at even salvation itself, receiving salvation itself is an acceptance to say, I can't do this on my own. I need you, right? I need Jesus. I need the advocate. I need the help. But then when you're given it, understanding what you got, the freedom. You have freedom now to walk in a way that you're empowered through that Holy Spirit to say, when life shows up, when circumstance shows up, when temptation is in your face, I'm going to follow. And it's going to and if I fall, guess what? I'm going to get back up and continue to follow. And what you'll see is you'll find yourself stepping out of that wheel, that place of complacency, or just getting stuck in the cycle, and you'll find yourself pursuing God and bringing glory to him in the process. Right? Because it is in that process that glory is brought to the Father. Why? Because something that was not is now. Because that's the story of Jesus. Right? And as we see that according to the word, it says the old is gone. Guess what's here? New. New. So walk in it. Walk in the free gift that God has given you. And do not let the enemy, don't let self, don't let teaching, don't let any of those things persuade you to any other way than receiving the free gift that you have, understanding there's nothing that you do on your part to continue that journey outside of following. He doesn't need your self-control. He doesn't need that. As a matter of fact, he'll give you that from him, right? 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control or a sound mind, right? That's something that comes from him, not from us. Because I know some of us are like, well, I'm just kind of built that way. You might be, but you still ain't big enough, dude. You know, you're still not big enough to do this on your own, I promise. And even when we look at the life of Jesus, like, such a good example to see how God walked in those ways through his son, right? In the way that he responded to things, in the way that he lived his life before men. It was such an encouragement to us to know, look, with the Holy Spirit, that's where the scripture applies. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. Why? Because I'm following and he's leading. I'm not up there, hey, I got this for a while, you know. I'm not trying to take the lead of this here train. I'm going to follow, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to do that from within. We're going to jump over to 5 now. Verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. Here's your barometer, right? Since you've been made right with God, in God's sight by faith, you will have the peace. So how do I know if I've not been made right in God's sight? I don't have peace, right? If you do not have peace, there is either something that you are not seeing as the truth, or you haven't accepted what is the truth yet, right? So it says, with God, because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Again, this is not something where I accepted Jesus, so now I have to live up to this standard so that I continually deserve it, right? It's not the truth. You have something?
I like how your translation said, and we boast in the what? Waiting?
It says, Christ brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory.
Okay. In 5:2 of my translation, the NIV,
yep.
It says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now, in that word hope, I think some people, and I did this too, it's a twistedness in that word hope. It's not a, oh, I hope so.
Right.
It's a, I hope.
Right.
I hope. I hope. I'm waiting and watching. I hope because I know, because he said so. I hope. Not a, I hope so.
Right. You know, I was given analogy of the island analogy. So if you're sitting on an island, you're stranded, right? And there's a hope that you would have that a boat would show up in the ocean to come save you, right? Yeah. There's two kinds of hope.
Yeah.
One would be, I'm on the island. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where what the water is. I don't know when a ship might come by, but I hope one shows up because that's my salvation, right? But then there's also the same guy on the island that knows that's a shipping lane out there and that every Tuesday at 3 p.m. there's going to be a cargo ship that comes up here. My hope is that I make it till Tuesday till that thing shows up, right? Yeah. There's a hope that comes with understanding. And that's what we walk in Christ. There is a hope, what? With understanding. Yeah. Why? Because he's already given us the truth. He's already given us the story to say there's a hope that you can hold. Why? Because I'm going to show up. I'm going to do it for you, right? And that's no different in this place when we look at the righteousness that we have in God. That hope that we have isn't, oh, I hope I get the fullness of it because I did say yes. No, it's because you did say yes, you walk in the fullness of it. Your promise, and that's what's so cool, that promise is given to each and every one of us, all of us. Mm-hmm. We all, it's even kill, right? Because God is fair and God is just. There's not one thing. He's no respecter of men. And even, you know, like I tell you in my home group a lot, I use this a lot. We compare ourselves among ourselves too much, right? We want that guy to pray for us because we've seen God move through his life, not understanding that that same God is what healed, mm-hmm. is the same God that's in you that will heal, right? It's not about your prayer. You know, and I've even taken that approach in my home group. Like, we get in a circle and we're going to pray for somebody. Sometimes I'm just quiet. I won't pray. I will not pray. And they kind of look at me like, why? Because if I pray and something happens, and that was the consistent thing that you see in this, you'll think it's my prayers that are bringing healing to these people. Mm, it's not.
Come on.
It is the prayer. It is God moving in that place. And I don't care if I spent 4.5 minutes or you spent 3.5 seconds. If you said, be healed in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. Why? Because of Jesus. Not because of the person that's in the room, that's the preacher, the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the anointed one, the gifted one, whatever, all this stuff that we categorize people as, right? Do those things exist? They do. But none of them are greater than the truth of the gospel that is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit through which he can choose at any point in time to move. And when is he going to choose? When you apply your faith.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, in those moments, like I've loved to see where I didn't say a word that night and somebody come in with a foot. We had 2 weeks ago, my mother-in-law come in with her foot was bummed. She broke a toe. She had to wear a boot. And we prayed for her. And she came back next week with no boot. And she's like, I went home that night and took it off. And I haven't worn it since.
Mm.
And it's like, if I would have prayed, then people, and because I know people. I've been in this a long time. They'll say, oh, man, go get Jason to pray for you. Go to his going room. Go get Jason to pray for you because you'll get healed if you do that. Why don't you just get out on your knees in your closet and pray that God will move? Or why don't you go ask your 10-year-old son or your daughter who believes in Jesus and say, well, you just pray for my foot. Let's set up an environment for God to move in this place right here, right now, right? We, as Christians, we have gotten so crazy with this stuff when it comes to looking at people and their anointings. Be careful. It's not about anyone's anointings. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of us. And all of us have access to those gifts to move and have our being in him and touch people and see them healed, or see God move in their life or whatever in that moment, to give them a word of knowledge or to build them up, to encourage them, to serve them, whatever. Whatever those gifts are, go into Corinthians and read them. You have access if you want it. If you want it, right? But if we're not careful, we'll sit back on the bench having our arms crossed. And we're going to let that other guy, the anointed one, take care of business, right? Blech. We need to stop that business, man. We need to understand the truth of the gospel. All of these things come from God. You are only the vessel in there at the moment to say, you know what? Your word says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. That's all I got to do. Lay my hands on the sick. Why? Because he's going to do the work. He's going to do the work. And then again, when we're looking at those things, well, what if I smoked weed yesterday? Oh, what if I fell and took a drink yesterday? Oh, what if I cussed out my wife yesterday morning? And then today, here's this guy and he needs me to pray for healing. Pray for the healing. Quit worrying about the things that you messed up with, that you fell short, that you did this or that. That's what we've been talking about today. Mm-hmm. Because those are the things that will grab your focus and will keep you from understanding the truth of God's word. And then that is what will stifle the Holy Spirit in your life. But if you reveal the truth and say, yeah, I just cussed at my wife this morning. Father, I thank you that that's not the guy that I am. I thank you that I'm going to love her as you've loved the church. Thank you that you're moving in my heart in that. Dude, get over here. We got to pray for you because your leg needs to be healed. Right? Make those things right in your heart and just continue on.
Exactly.
That's it. Continue on. Don't get stuck. Don't get the ball and chain get you where you're stuck in that place.
Key word that just popped with me is in your heart.
Yep.
So I myself have been dealing with some stuff and I didn't understand why I felt like I had a block. Yep. I had a block. And for me at 12, I died. Circumstances, situation, don't matter.
Right.
I died. Jesus came. I seen Jesus. I sat on a cloud with Jesus that night. I'm here today because of Jesus.
Right.
Now, with that, the very morning I woke up, I came back. The Lord said, you didn't wake up. You came back.
Right.
I came back. When I came back in, my physical eyes reopened. And I remember when my physical eyes closed in that moment, I heard my name being called. When I heard my name, my eyes opened. My spiritual eyes opened.
Right.
I was still in my body, but I couldn't, my spirit couldn't move. He rode down on a cloud, stood at the foot of my bed, and handed his, had his hand out. And when he said to me, "Come with me, my child," immediately my spirit was released to grab his hand. And I did.
Yeah.
Now, when I came back and my physical eyes reopened the next day, immediately, I mean immediately, the enemy was attacking that experience,
right,
that encounter, my truth.
Right.
And I've battled my truth almost my whole life,
Right.
Until recently. I couldn't understand why I kept feeling like I was hitting a brick wall,
right,
a block, just a big wall. And so I asked the Lord, I asked him, why do I keep hitting a brick wall? Why? What is hindering me? Something is going on and I don't like it. I want to get past this.
Right.
And I don't know how. And then he said, he was so sweet. He had me word search. Doubt. And doubt is uncertainty. That's the word he had me write down because I was uncertain.
Right.
Okay. And then he had me Google disbelief and unbelief. Okay. And then he took me to, and the scripture that the enemy would use, the scripture the enemy used on me was John 20, 28-29, where it talks about blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. And I became convinced. I had doubts. I had doubts that I was blessed.
Right.
The devil sowed seed of doubt that I was blessed.
Right.
But God took me to John 12. First, I want to read John 28 and 29 first. Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jason, I became, I doubted,
right,
that I was blessed because the enemy took this and put his manipulation on it,
right,
and deposited,
yeah,
in me. And then the Lord took me to John 12. 44-45. I'm going to try to read it, y'all. John 12, 44-45. Whoever believes in me does not believe only in me, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Oh, wait a minute. Anyway, I was trying to get to the one where it says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I think I wrote it down wrong. Y'all. I made a mistake.
If you get into 14, 14 and verse 6, Jesus told him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you have known who my Father is.
Yes.
From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him.
That's right? The one. Yes. I think I wrote it down wrong. Okay, yeah, 14. Silly. John 14, yeah.
Yep. Then you get into verse 9. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father.
Yes.
Sir, why are you asking me to show him to you?
Yeah. And when the Lord brought that to me and I read it, I just wrote it down wrong because I get real sissy la-la. Yep. I get so sissy la-la, I can't hardly see for the water coming out, you know?
Yeah.
But when the Lord brought that freedom through the word, he untwisted the word that Satan twisted. And with that, when I read that, I immediately felt that block crumble.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately. I was like, thank you, Daddy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know where you're at today, but I would encourage you to ask the Father. If you don't know what's going on with you, he does.
Yeah.
And he will. He's a loving, faithful Father. He will show you. However, we have to have our, we have to be open hearted. Right. Had I sat there, I don't know why this is happening. Won't you just show me? And then he tries to show me, well, that ain't it. Right. Well, I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. If he shows you,
Right.
And that's all I can say about it is, I didn't know. And for me, that's hard to admit sometimes.
Right.
It's hard for me to admit sometimes I don't know. And it's also hard sometimes to admit I've been wrong. And like with the two grandchildren that I have at the house, they watched a lot of stuff. Right. They seen a lot. And so when this last granddaughter came to live with me, we sat on the couch. And I told her, Eden, Granny loves you. And I want this to be a safe place for you. I did not handle the death of Grandpa or the death of Victoria, my daughter. Granny didn't handle that properly. And I'm so sorry for that. But God has helped me. And I'm better.
Yeah.
Instead of bitter.
Yeah.
Sometimes as adults, it's hard to admit we've been wrong. And sometimes it's hard to apologize. But that baby needed to hear that.
Right.
To help her. Because I didn't just lose a husband and a daughter. They lost some people too.
Right. Good.
Now, before we close, would you be kind enough to share any information that you would like about Fivefold Ministry?
Yeah, you bet. So we meet Wednesday evenings here in town. Right now, we're still in the home group until the building's finished put together. So we meet at our home. You can always reach out on this Facebook post or send me a message there on Facebook, and I will get you the information if you'd like to plug in with us. We meet Wednesday evening, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We do a meal beforehand. And so if you want to show up, just bring a $5 bill and throw it in the jar and eat up. So that's kind of the way we've been doing that lately. It seems to be working the easiest. I do have a Rumble channel. You can get that on iPhone or Android, also on Roku. They do have the Rumble channel as well. So at Firewalker77 is my handle on there. That you can do if you have monetary seed you would like to sow. Venmo is the thing that I have electronically that you can use. And that, again, the same username there, at Firewalker77. That's the stuff. That's the business.
All right. Thank you, sir. You always bring good food to this table. God prepares meals well in you, sir. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And you know I'm going to say it again. This is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, from our awesome brother in Christ, Jason Mong. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see you next time. You're so cool.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.